Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrar's Food Safety Inc. podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions relevant to both the food safety industry as well as cannabis and hemp. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjrfsi.com/webinars or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
One or good morning, depending on where you're joining us from. And welcome to today's webinar, Post-Harvest Food Safety for Produce. My name is Amy, and I'm a member of the marketing team here at Perry Johnson Registrar's Food Safety, Inc. I'll be facilitating today's webinar and offering technical support to our speakers. Today, we're excited to be welcoming back two familiar voices to discuss the topic at hand, and those are Robin Rose and Rebecca Anderson of Global Gap, and we'll be introducing them both to you shortly. But now I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first speaker. That is Paul DeMarin. He is the Senior Vice President of Food Safety and Supply Chain here at PJRFSI. Paul joined us in January of last year and has over 35 years of experience in the hospitality, service, and retail agri-food sectors. Paul is a board member of the OFPA, that's the Ontario Food Protection Association, and he's also an advisory council member with the George Washington University School of Business for their digital marketing certificate program. Before he came over to PJRFSI, Paul worked for 16 years in the certification industry with clients in sectors from food safety and supply chain to brand protection and quality. Paul's also worked for many years in management system certification. And before that, Paul was a professional chef and a consultant for over 20 years. So Paul, I'll hand things over to you and you can take it away when you're ready.
Hi, Amy. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us, and thanks for spending a little bit of time with us this afternoon. We really appreciate your time. So moving forward, I have the pleasure of, as Amy mentioned, welcoming back a couple of our industry colleagues here and familiar faces. I want to introduce you to Rebecca Anderson and Robin Rose with Global Gap. Rebecca is Global Gap's technical expert, liaison, and trainer for North America. And she joined Global Gap North America in October of 2016, where she worked in standard development, managing the National Technical Working Group and supporting producers and certification bodies, as well as farm assurers. She's been in the food sector for over 10 years now and has a BSc in Agricultural Science from California Polytechnic State University and is an MBA and MPA candidate at the Presidio Graduate School. And her colleague, Robin, has been working to support producers and processors for over 20 years now. She's currently the key account manager for Global Gap in North America. And Robin has held widespread positions on farms across the East Coast and around California, from field production to sales and operations. In 2019, Robin joined Global Gap North America, and her role is to support the growth and development of certification across North America to meet the needs and expectations of producers and buyers alike. So with that, I believe I'm going to pass it over to you, Robin, and I look forward to interacting with you throughout the webinar. So thank you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Paul. And thank you for the introduction. We should update that last slide just to say, as of 2 weeks ago, Rebecca has completed her master's program and is no longer a candidate, but actually.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks for that.
So just had to throw that out there. So,
Amazing. Well,
I'm super excited today. The produce handling assurance standard is something that we at Global Gap have been working on for quite a while and are really happy to be able to present and make available to the North American industry. So I just want to put out that this PowerPoint that I'm about to show you is available on the globalgap.org website. In addition to this full recording, there's a lot of information about the Produce Handling Assurance Standard, including all the normative documents, some flyers, some other marketing type materials, and a really complete FAQ that's available on the globalgap.org website under the PHA section, which I'll have a link to at the end of this presentation. So many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Global Gap. Really, what we are here to do is oversee an independent certification system for good agricultural practices. We want to be able to help harmonize standards for product safety and environmental impact to allow producers to avoid having to have multiple audits for different buyers, while we really want to make sure that we're ensuring the integrity of food safety. So we are a global organization. We're based in Cologne, Germany. Rebecca and I are both located around Central California, and we have other folks located up in Portland, Oregon as well. So we're going to go quickly through our produce handling assurance standard, talk about a number of different aspects of it. And as Amy mentioned, I welcome all questions. I'm going to do this presentation. Rebecca is here as our technical expert to answer any of the content questions about the technical details of the standard. So please feel free to ask any and all things that you would like to know as we go forward. Sorry, I'm trying to get this slide stuff figured out as I go through. So, all right, so our new Global GAP Produce Handling Assurance, and I'm gonna use PHA to talk about it here, it is newly GFSI recognized, and it's a post-harvest facility food safety certification. So this is an exciting addition to our lineup of GFSI recognized certification standards, because it can be used either as a standalone post-harvest facility certification, or it can be combined with Global GAP field audits, and that can provide a complete certification option from farm to pack house. So for producers, the option to use one certification scheme for both field and pack house audits can mean reduced audit redundancy and therefore reduced costs. I'm pretty sure that's something everybody enjoys. For buyers, knowing that certification is being conducted under a globally recognized and respected Global GAP standard and certification system means that there can be trust in the integrity and the oversight of the certification. So, why did we do this? Why are we creating it? For many years, Global GAP has been an international leader in farm food safety and traceability certification. And while our Integrated Farm Assurance, or IFA, standard does include post-harvest pre-processing activities on farm, it wasn't really fit for use for standalone packing, cooling, or storage facilities. This has meant that some of the producers who wanted to use Global GAP certification standards for their farms have had to have audits under another certification scheme, leading to redundancy in audits, plus the additional complexity of having to deal with two different certification programs for the farm and for the pack house. This is why for years now, producers, post-harvest operations, and supply chain members have asked Global GAP for a standalone post-harvest certification. PHA is a direct response to these industry requests. So global stakeholders took part in the development of review, trials, and initial certification to launch the fit for purpose PHA standard. It's really a true representation of what multi-sector collaboration is, which is why we like to say designed by industry for industry. And we really extend our sincere gratitude to the many individuals and organizations that contributed to the development of this standard and continue to collaborate with us on making sure that it works to meet everyone's needs. So PHA was really specifically designed to include HACCP and to provide more complete coverage of post-harvest GMPs than IFA does for fruit and vegetable packers. The basic framework of PHA is built on the post-harvest standard developed as part of the United Fresh Produce Harmonized GAPS initiative. It was adapted by us to incorporate the FSMA requirements for both the produce safety rule and the preventative controls for human food rule as they apply.
Hey, Robin, it's Paul here. So you mentioned that the global stakeholders took part in the development. You said review, trials, initial certification to launch the standard, and that it was designed by industry for industry. Can you just be a little bit more specific on who some of those stakeholders were, and perhaps were there any observations from the initial review?
Yeah, absolutely. The full list of all of the participants in the various rounds of feedback and development are available on our website. There were a number of produce companies, which are our common names, Driscoll's, Wonderful Citrus, Jamara, Nature Ripe, Robinson Fresh, all were part of the development of the standard. Additionally, we had some industry associations like the Washington State Tree Fruit Association, United Fresh, obviously. Certification bodies also contributed. And then importantly, we also talked to buyers like Walmart, who were part of providing feedback and the development. Rebecca, if you have any additional thoughts on the feedback they gave us specifically, please feel free to add in.
Yeah, I would also add that we had people from outside of the U.S. because we really wanted it to be a standard that could be used globally, as well as, you know, specifically designed for the export-import requirements around FSMA. Another thing I would add is that we had two public consultation periods for this, which means that we wanted a really broad stakeholder overview. And the overwhelming response was that people were excited about it because it was really fit for purpose for that post-harvest pre-process level. And so it really melted away anything that wasn't necessary that people were writing NA on. And then it also included the HACCP and some of the GMPs that people wanted credit for, but were only getting credit for because of risk assessment. So the overwhelming response was excitement, and we were just happy to have, you know, all the great people willing to provide input and make it even stronger.
Perfect. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. So we at Global Gap worked hard to make sure that we got GFSI recognition for PHA. We just received that last month. And so that's under the scope of BII, the pre-process handling of plant products. We know that many buyers look for GFSI recognition of the certification standard for assurance that the certification is of the highest integrity. Some buyers may require that food safety certificates for some or all products be GFSI recognized as part of their supplier approval programs. And the Global Gap PHA certification should meet the requirements of these buyers, and buyers should have no reason to doubt the veracity of the PHA certificate. So that said, PHA is a new standard in the marketplace, and not all buyers may have heard of it yet or be aware of what it offers. If there is a case where a buyer has additional questions about PHA certificates, we invite them to contact us directly, and we would be happy to work with them to walk them through it or show them any information that they may need. We do always recommend that producers and packers check with their buyers first before making any changes to their audit or certification providers to make sure that their buyers' needs are being met. And we do at Global Gap fully stand behind PHA as the complete audit and certification program of the highest integrity and brand protection.
Robin, how have the retailers been responding to PHA? Has there been any feedback on this from them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as to be expected, retailers can be very protective of their brand identification and reputation. So some can be wary of new entries into the marketplace. So we have been working really directly. Like I said, Walmart was part of the feedback for development of PHA and is on board. We've been working with Costco. We're going to be doing some shadow audits to let them see PHA in action. So really what the retailers are telling us is that if their suppliers are interested in using PHA, that's going to be their kind of big reason to look at it for acceptance, would be if their suppliers are asking them to accept it. So, but right. Other, you know, overall, most of the retailers have, you know, GFSI recognition policies. And so because PHA is this fully GFSI recognized standard, it really shouldn't cause any issues or problems.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. So why would somebody want to choose PHA certification instead of whatever standard, whether it's the USDA HGAP or Primus or anything else that they're currently using? So first, it's because the design of the standard checklist, as Rebecca mentioned, is really fit for purpose for post-harvest pre-process activities and facilities. So the audit visit and report writing can really be streamlined, leading to reduced certification costs to the producer. The duration of the audits is more flexible for things like cold storage, which are less complicated, and other types of facilities than in other certification schemes. For a producer who has both a farm and a pack house, using one certification scheme can mean reduced audit redundancy, as I mentioned. If the audits for both pre and post harvest are done to a global GAP standard, any duplication in the audits is just marked not applicable, skipped right over. So we do want to point out that this reduced cost to the producer and the reduced time on site is not because of a lack of robustness of the audit, but rather it's efficiency in the specificity of the PHA checklist and audit program. And this means that while producers can benefit in terms of reduced complexity and increased affordability of audits, buyers can also benefit through the availability of a trusted third-party verification system that reduces company exposure in the risk in terms of product safety and reputation. So now that we've talked a little bit about why PHA is an excellent choice for the produce industry, I want to just talk quickly about who's eligible to use it. PHA covers post-harvest but pre-process activities. So that's cooling, packing, repacking, storage, distribution. Both open shed and closed buildings can be certified to PHA. There are some current exclusions in Europe and Russia where only open shed operations can be certified in Europe and Russia. So the geographic availability of PHA certification was determined on both the express market need and consideration for suppliers needing to comply with the FSMA requirements for the US market. But all fruits and vegetables and hops, combinable crops, such like corn or wheat, all of those things can be covered by PHA. So it's a really widely applicable standard. One of the important things to note about PHA is that all facilities are audited every year. This is something obviously retailers can be skittish about. With farms, we offer what's called option 2, which is a group certification where a subset of sites are audited each year. This is not an option for the post-harvest. Every site is audited every year. That said, there are options for both single site and multi-site operations under PHA. And it really just depends on what the legal entity applying for certification is. If there's one legal entity with one site, that's real easy. It's an individual operation with a single certificate. If it's one legal entity with multiple sites, each site is audited, but only the legal entity is listed on the main certificate and all the sites are listed on a certificate annex. And if there's multiple legal entities and multiple sites, each is treated as an individual operation and individually audited and certified. So, as I mentioned, there's 4 scopes of activity that are certifiable under PHA. There's packing, pre-processing, cooling, and cold storage, and storage or distribution. So this is a non-exhaustive list of which activities are covered under which scope, really just intended to be an example. So important to note that processing, things like slicing or juicing, are not included in PHA. PHA is for pre-process activities only. So this is just another kind of view of how PHA looks at different activities, what is and what isn't covered. Pre-process activities, things like drying and hulling, sorting, they are things that do not significantly alter or transform the product from its harvested state. So that is what PHA is intended to cover. Processing activities or things that do transform the final product are not covered. So like I said, those are things like juicing, anything that includes mixing of multiple ingredients, IQF, slicing, cooking, anything like that. So this is available, this list is available as a flyer on the Global Gap website also, just to make it easy to reference. So as I mentioned, PHA can be used either as standalone certification or combined with a Global Gap field audit. So just wanted to briefly expand on that idea. First, it is possible for a facility with no associated farm, and so this is the true standalone post-harvest facility, to be certified. So that can be covered by PHA for any of the activities listed as covered on the previous slide. That facility might handle produce only from one farm or from many farms. Either is fine. For a company that has both a farm and a post-harvest facility, the most efficient and effective option is to have both the field and facility certified under Global Gap, with PHA and the facility being able to be combined with either IFA, the Integrated Farm Assurance Standard, or HPSS, the Harmonized Produce Safety Standard, which is one only available for producers in the USA. So alternately, if a company has both a farm and a facility, and they may choose to certify only the facility under PHA while using a different field audit program for the farm, particularly during a transition time, in such a case, they can use Global Gap PHA just for the facility for as long as they wish, or for just the period of 6 months or a year that it takes to transition over from another audit program.
Robin, what if they have a farm that's currently certified under USDA GAP or SQF or Primus GFS? Can they also use PHA in the pack house?
Yep, absolutely. That's what I was just referring to, for either as long as it takes to transition to a Global Gap field audit if they want, which is not required. But again, you get kind of the most efficient use of the audit programs and checklists and the overlap there, so that there isn't that redundancy if both the farm and the pack house are certified under one scheme.
Okay.
I would add, Paul, that there is a requirement that for an operation to use PHA, at some point in time, there needs to be a piece of fruit that is Global Gap certified going through the packing house. So it doesn't need to be that farm, but as long as they have some packing or handling of certified fruit at some point in time, then it would be acceptable. So we do have that caveat because it is a Global Gap standard, but that still means that, you know, a USDA GAP or Harmonized GAP farm could still use the PHA in the packing house.
Thank you.
Okay, great.
Rebecca. Awesome. So number one question that everybody wants to know is how much certification costs under any program. The PHA fees that we implement from Global Gap are really intended to be affordable and accessible for producers all around the globe. So what the certificate license fee is 125 euros. And it's a deal if you're in North America, because it's also $125. So we're not doing the exchange rate on that. It's just a kind of one-to-one in different currency. The registration fee is 75 euros or $75 in North America. So each of the certification bodies sets their own fees for audits and administration of the program. So they vary. We do expect that producers that are currently using two different standards, like we were just talking about, for farm and facility certification, or who are currently certifying pre-process post-harvest handling activities to a standard intended for more complex processing, to save money by simplifying the audit and certification time.
Yeah, and from our perspective on that, Robin, you know, typically we're finding that these audits are anywhere from a half day to a day, where we have some locations that are combining their farm and pack house into a one-day audit. But if anybody's interested in hearing a little bit more about that, then please feel free to reach out to me after, and I'd be happy to provide you with a proposal.
Awesome. Thank you, Paul.
Sure.
So to get slightly more into the nitty-gritty, I want to be clear that this here is not intended to be a technical training about PHA, but really just a brief overview of the standard. And I do really invite anybody who wants to have a detailed look at the standard to join Rebecca in a full PHA training. We are offering one online that is, I believe, July 20th and 21st, so at the end of next month. And that's a two-day event where she really goes through each of the requirements, the control points and compliance criteria and general regulations to understand. So this is not intended to be a technical training, but do want to give you an overview. So what it is a standard of GMPs that looks at hazard analysis and preventative controls, the traceability system of any operation to assess the overall practices of the food safety management system. So that's including looking at supplier management, how food safety related incidents are handled. It includes requirements for the physical site, personnel, production, and the structure and flow of the standard is really intended to reflect the best practices of HACCP. So one of the things to consider, because this is a global standard that covers activities in countries with all types of regulation, just want to be clear about the way PHA interacts with any local legislation. In a case where local legislation is more demanding than PHA requirements, that local legislation overrides global GAP and that needs to be met. So if there's no legislation or the legislation isn't as strict, global GAP provides that minimal acceptable level of compliance. So the legal compliance of all applicable legislation is not a condition for certification. PHA audits do not replace the responsibilities of public compliance agencies to enforce their own legislation. So speaking of local legislation, looking at FSMA briefly, well, FSMA is, of course, only law in the United States. It does have impacts on any grower whose product is shipped to the USA, meaning it has global implications. So during the development of PHA, we made sure that it incorporated all applicable FSMA requirements for both the produce safety and preventative controls rules. A producer can use their PHA audit report and certificate to demonstrate their efforts to implement FSMA requirements if asked to prove compliance by importers, retailers, or other members of the supply chain. So that's a really important benefit there. Additionally, a PHA audit can help a producer identify any areas that need to be addressed for FSMA compliance so they can be fixed. That said, PHA certification can indicate FSMA compliance, but it is not a guarantee of FSMA compliance. Only the U.S. Food and Drug Administration can be a regulatory authority that can state FSMA compliance. So that caveat out of the way. So looking at IFA and PHA. So this is our integrated farm assurance standard. As I mentioned before, it does cover some post-harvest activities. So just wanted to call out how PHA is different than that post-harvest section of IFA for on-farm packing. And there's a lot of specific examples here of how and where PHA goes above and beyond IFA, which is really what makes it more fit for purpose for packing, storage, washing, and other covered activities. Don't worry, I'm not going to read them all here, but I do want to just note that PHA provides more detailed compliance criteria specific to post-harvest handling, much of which is included in the IFA Fruit and Vegetable Annex 5 as voluntary guidance to aid producers in building a risk assessment for post-harvest. So PHA takes that guidance and puts it into practice. This particular list is available in the FAQ section of the PHA part of our website at globalgap.org.
And Robin, what about some of the specifics of the requirements in the checklist? Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm actually going to punt that one over to Rebecca and let her point a few things out.
Yeah, sure. So let's take the example of suitable design and construction and layout of facilities. So in IFA, this would be as generally a part of the risk assessment, which on one hand provides flexibility, but it also means there's opportunity for guidance to be lost. So the PHA would talk about how the layout goes, the type of materials, what needs to be looked at, whether we're talking about drop ceilings or drains, and really provides explicit control points in order for them to be clearly laid out and assessed by the auditor. So that's one example. Another one I would talk about is tool identification or pre-operational checks. So some of these things are implied or, like Robin said, are in the annex, but for PHA, they're really explicit. So we're just really trying to simplify the process and making sure that the standard and control points are accessible while maintaining that food safety rigor. Hopefully that answers your question, Paul.
Yeah, it did. Thank you very much, Rebecca.
That is why we have her around. She knows all these good details. So all of the normative documents for PHA mirror our other programs. One of our big values as a company is transparency and accessibility. So we do have all of our documents available on our website for anybody to download, including these normative documents. So anybody who's interested in being certified to PHA should check out the following. First is the checklist, which is essentially the audit internal audit checklist as an Excel file. We have what we call the CPCCs, or the control points and compliance criteria. So that is all of the detailed requirements and the guidelines for how to fulfill and demonstrate that you have met those requirements. And the third thing is the general regulations, or GRs, and that includes how the certification process works and all of the rules about the audit. So, kind of referenced in the other slide, the PHA control points covers a really wide variety of topics and production practices. This is essentially the index of the standard itself and everything that it goes through. So food safety management, HACCP, your product specs, supplier approval, all these things are covered under the standard in this order, more or less. We won't talk about them necessarily, but this is what Rebecca would go through point by point in a full technical training. So yeah, we'll not take the time to do so here.
Can I jump in right there, Robin? Sorry, super impromptu. I just want to mention, in April, we launched a new GGN logo for use on packaging for fruits and vegetables, which is really big for Global Gap. And one of the things that we did with PHA right away was to include our chain of custody requirements directly in PHA. So for those packers where the product is coming from a certified farm and they use the chain of custody section within PHA, they would be able to use the GGN logo on packaging. So that's a really exciting and hopefully motivating factor moving forward.
Awesome. Thank you for that reminder. Skipped over that one. So looking at the certification compliance requirements, the PHA standard is set up like other Global GAP standard, where there are both major musts. There is a requirement for 100% compliance for all major musts in order to be certified. And there are minor musts also, which there is a slight bit more flexibility. There's a requirement for 95% compliance. And so when you download the checklist available on our website, you can see, this is a screenshot of that checklist, you'll see the control point, what the compliance criteria is, and then what the level, whether that is a minor must or a major must. So looking at the general regulations and the rules for how the program works, those are pretty much the same as for IFA, with a few notable exceptions. And I just wanted to call out two of them. One is the requirements for auditor training. So auditors for for PHA are required to have enhanced training in GMPs and post-harvest activities, but there is some additional flexibility in how that training can be achieved. Second, the rule around unannounced audits. So when an unannounced audit occurs under PHA, it counts as the facility's annual recertification audit, and another audit is not required. So that lifts the audit burden from producers, auditors, and certification bodies while still maintaining a Global GAP's high level of integrity. So we recently in update happening to our IFA standard that has been adopted as the same requirement that's in the version 5.4 GFS, where the previous versions required an additional 10% of unannounced audits on top of all the annual recertification audits. So PHA also has a shorter window for unannounced audits to happen, and that makes sure that the audit takes place during the normal certification cycle. And there is also an allowance for an operation to indicate up to 15 days of the year that they can't accept an unannounced audit, such as holidays or, you know, other events like a pre-planned vacation or something like that. Great. Clicky click. Sorry. My slide stopped moving forward. Amy, I don't know if you can progress. For some reason, this is no longer moving for me. So that was pretty much the end of my presentation anyway. So that's the good news. It's a lot of information, and really just want to summarize that we're offering PHA in order to provide complete certification from farm to pack house. And that is intended to reduce audit redundancy and certification costs. So PHA is a globally recognized and widely accepted independent third-party verification of safe and traceable handling practices that will ensure food safety throughout the supply chain. So we believe that adding PHA to our stable of GFSI recognized standards is going to benefit producers and buyers alike with an industry designed fit for purpose standard for pre-process activities. So if you're a producer who's interested in investigating the PHA audit, you can contact the Perry Johnson registrars at the email address, or, you know, call and get in touch with one of the staff members there. I think they will walk you through it. Make sure you discuss with any of your buyers that that's something you're interested in. And if they have any questions about it, feel free to refer them to me and I will make sure that they get answered. And of course, take a look at what those normative documents are that are available on our website, what the checklist and the compliance requirements are. So finally, I want to just again invite you to attend a training. There is the one in July that's online in the North American time zones. So those are the intensive reviews of both the general regulations and control points to help folks fully understand the requirements and how to implement them on farms and at facilities. Generally, we offer trainings in multiple languages, time zones, all over as in-person events are starting to happen. In multiple locations. So those are all available on the Global GAP Academy section of our website. If you are interested in a topic or in a language or time zone that's not listed there, like there isn't one already scheduled, feel free to reach out to me and suggest something, and I will do my best to get that on the agenda. Oh, there we go. Thank you. So that was pretty much it from me. Next and final slide is just the contact information for Rebecca and I, and we are here and available to answer any and all questions that you might have.
Well, thank you very, very much, Robin and Rebecca. I'm not sure, which slide are you seeing right now? The summary slide?
Yes.
Okay. I think that we might be having a little bit of a server issue. That's why it's not advancing to your question slide. So I apologize about that. I guess, oh, there we go. Amy, you got it to work. Perfect. So there are Robin and Rebecca's contact details should you have any questions for them once we've completed this webinar. We do have a couple of upcoming webinars just before we get into the Q&A. I don't know if I can move the slide here. Let me see. Yes, there we go. Okay, so we have two webinars coming up in June that we would certainly love to have you join us. One is we're welcoming back Dr. William Lee. He's a global authority on, you know, what to eat to boost your immunity. And I won't go through all of his accolades there, but that should be a really good one. We're going to be talking about shoring up your defenses in light of the opening, especially here in Canada. We just opened up last week. And then we're going to be having another webinar with SQF talking about predicting risk using technology. So we hope that you will be able to join us for that. And now, Amy, are you back? And would you like to move through the Q&A?
I am back.
Perfect.
Yes. I think my audio and my audio and video for some reason just disconnected for a minute there. So I apologize for that difficulty. Let me see what questions we've got here. All right, let's see what we've got. Okay, there's a question here about slides and the recording. Both the slides and the recording will be available within the next couple of days. The slides, as I said at the very beginning, the slides will be available from pdrfsi.com and the recording will be posted to our YouTube channel. But all right, question here for our guests. This one is from Eileen. Eileen is asking, how does the Global GAP PHA standard
Oh, Amy, we lost you right as you were asking the question.
Okay, no problem. I think we're having those technical difficulties again. I think the question was, because I can see here as well, how does the Global GAP standard address sustainability at the farm level?
Oh, yeah. So because if you're referring specifically to PHA, PHA is the post-harvest facility standard. So it does not specifically address sustainability at the farm level. The PHA is intended to be on top of one of the farm certification standards. So our IFA standard does have significant oversight of some issues around sustainability that I think if you want details about, Rebecca could speak to quickly. But PHA itself is not intended to be at the farm level other than for the facility.
Okay.
Yeah, I would add there is consideration for the future to have add-ons the same way we have add-ons for IFA, such as those for social and environmental in the packing house once we have, you know, more established development into PHA. In terms of IFA, there's different requirements around waste management, environmental footprint in terms of energy management, as well as worker health and safety in terms of social requirements. And we have additional add-ons as well. So we have like GRASP, which has more social aspects and other requirements. We are considering a carbon footprint add-on as well. So there's a lot coming, but there's also a lot of requirements in there. And I just want to make a quick plug for the Walmart Pollinator Program. So we were recently recognized by Walmart to include enough robust requirements to meet their pollinator standards. So that's pretty exciting to be included for that as well.
Yeah, that is. Congratulations on that. That's amazing. I have another question here for, and I don't know if this is related, but how can we source products from a Global GAP certified production processes? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's actually a good question because our certified producers are available on our Global GAP database, and you would be able to search by country, by product. There's some other few search parameters, but basically it would give you a list of all of the Global GAP certified producers. There is data access around that, so you wouldn't get like contact information, or you know, we make it so people can't get spam. But at the same time, the whole point of having certification is to be able to have market access, and so that's one of the benefits of having the certification posted online, is that way, you know, people can be known for being certified, and then you know, have more retailers pick them up. So it would be going to the globalgap.org, clicking on the word database, and then being able to search through those parameters. Did that answer your question, Paul?
Yes, it did. Very much. Thank you.
Good. Good.
Okay. I'm just looking. I don't think there are any other questions other than the one about the webinar slides and content. That will be available on our YouTube channel, usually within 24 hours. Just go to PJRFSI in YouTube, and you can click on videos, and you'll see all 50 of our webinars, or 60 that we've done in the last year. Again, Robin and Rebecca, thank you both so much for your time today. Are there any final thoughts or parting words to the audience before we let you go?
For me, I just want to say I'm super excited about the standard. People had been asking us for this for so long, including myself before I came to GlobalGap. And so it's really rewarding to be a part of something that was a truly stakeholder-driven process of people from all different sectors. And I think that's really important when we're thinking about how work gets done in this sector. So I'm really excited. And I just want to thank you, Paul and Amy, for giving us this opportunity to talk about this brand new standard.
It's a real pleasure. You know, we certainly thank you as well. Okay, well, that's great. Well, again, thank you everyone for joining here today. We'll look forward to seeing you on a future webinar. And at this point, we'll let everyone go and enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.